kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Joe looks so angry in his webcam.
He always looks angry because he's secretly always angry. I'm very excited for the next game that I'm picking up, which we'll be talking about later.
Probably, if it's on Friday.
I honestly don't know the release date. I'm not going to lie.
I thought we were on the same page for a second, but maybe not.
I mean, I think I'm even on that page.
Could be.
I'm not getting it.
It absolutely could be.
I don't know. Anyway, what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast, episode number 222.
222.
I saved it for you, Chris. I was going to release Loot Interactive's episode, but I figured I couldn't skip 222 with you.
I appreciate that.
I know.
That's an honor. Thank you.
I had to save that one. So the people who were excited to hear Loot Interactive over the weekend are still waiting, and they'll hear it this weekend instead.
Well, good things come to those who wait.
Which, by the way, it might be the most insane episode I've ever done with them. You know how insane some of those episodes have been.
Oh, sure. Those are some of my favorites.
Like, there was at one point we were just discussing, like, a physical pile of dead hookers in someone's backyard.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it sounds about
like,
right.
Like, not a mass burial, just like, you know, he's secluded in the woods, so you don't even need to bury him. It's just a pile. Just a stack of bodies, yeah. So
understood.
Gonna be a good episode, so yeah. As you could tell, Chris is here.
Hey, what's up?
So how you doing, Chris?
I have been very, very busy.
And
I'm excited.
And then also here, you two are mingling for the first time. CJ, you're here.
I'm lurking, waiting for my moment.
So CJ, meet Chris. Chris, meet CJ.
Howdy.
It's nice to meet you.
There can only be one.
You're getting all quiet now.
Actually, I was doing a weird, stupid Batman voice, but I guess my mic wasn't doing well in picking that up.
Indeed. And Sion's hanging out in chat, and Suze is hanging out in chat, and maybe we'll see some more as the show progresses. So howdy to everybody in chat. Howdy to everyone listening to the MP3 or the YouTube version, whatever the hell you're doing. Yeah, all three of us here. It's weird having a three-man team.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
It's not like we never did it before, but it's been a while.
I thought we weren't having a show this week. Why the hell wouldn't we have a show this week?
Joe has five shows per week now. Like
we've missed 1 week ever, and that's because Tim was I'm busy.
Yeah.
We recorded
that was literally the only one.
We recorded in the fucking hospital.
Yes. I brought everything to Joe's room, Joe's hospital room.
Which, by the way, if you've never heard that episode, I should go back and find what episode.
Oh, dude, it's fucking great. I love that episode.
That's got to be one of the craziest shows we've done.
Well, and that was what? It was an E3 one, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, where the fuck is it? SML phone cast. No. Diablo and yogurt. That was a fun one.
Yep.
Cooncast 5000. Fuck Kunal. Lord of the Moon. Man, it's fun going over some of these old episodes.
I know, it's great.
Where the fuck is it?
There's so many. So, while
God
you're searching,
I want to find what episode this is.
While you're searching for that, can I lead with something just in case it's something that you were going to say anyway?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, so some of the reviews for Forza Horizon 3 have already been coming out.
Oh, there have been a ton of them. By the way, episode 70, E3 Tylenol Party.
Yes. Yeah, dude, you were messed up on some really bad medication.
I know, and it was nearly 3 hours back when 3-hour shows weren't the norm for us.
Well, that was also an E3 recap.
Yeah. And I got blood work during the show.
During the show. It was great.
I went back and listened to that episode a couple of weeks ago just for the fuck of it, and I was losing it. Just a nurse would walk in. We're like, oh, yeah, we're just recording. Can I take his vitals? Yeah, do whatever.
Yeah, go for it.
So how are you? What kind of games do you like? Stop talking to me.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. That was one of my favorites.
So
Forza Horizon 3, the reviews are already starting to come out. And the last time that I checked, the Metacritic was a 91.
Yep, I saw the same thing. I am actually going to check right now and see if it has changed at all. It was basically near unanimous praise, except for one site gave it a 4 out of 10.
A 4?
Yeah.
A 4.
Yes. Yep. They are called International Business Times UK. It is an incredibly short review, mainly complaining that it's not Dirt Rally.
What? Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
After reading it, because I wanted to be fair and read it and see what it was, it very clearly it's just a writer begging for attention, and he's getting it. So I guess he wins. Everyone's talking about his 4 out of 10. Just to give you an idea of this guy's reviews, he also gave Quantum Break and Just Cause both 4 out of 10.
I still technically didn't play Quantum Break, so I don't know how to feel about that
one.
It's
not a 4 out of 10. And technically it's 2 out of 5, but, you know, Metacritic rounds up. And
whatever.
The same website gave Abzu a 4 out of 10.
Which, Abzu?
Yeah. Which I fucking loved. They gave Resident Evil 0 HD a 2 out of 10. So 1 out of 5. And they gave No Man's Sky an 8 out of 10.
What the fuck?
An 8?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
don't listen to them.
So, yeah, so far there are 56 positive reviews, one mixed, and that mixed is a 7 out of 10. But I guess
that's
nowadays...
7 out of 10 is mixed?
Yeah, nowadays 7 out of 10 is mixed. And the 1 4 out of 10.
Yeah. So, like, but this is one of the highest rated Forza games in franchise.
Oh my god,
history.
It's playing a trailer. No, shut up.
This is one of the highest rated Forza games in franchise history now, and I just think that's really, really cool.
It's actually the highest Xbox One exclusive, the highest rated.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. So,
exclusive, not just Xbox One game in general. And it used to be inside with a 92, but that's on PS4 now, so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Damn it, PS4 owners.
So is that the release that you were talking about?
Yes.
That's Friday?
Yes. Well, fuck. I'm getting it Friday.
Oh, well.
Ultimate Edition.
For you. Oh, well, sure. Yeah. Does it actually come out on Tuesday?
Yes.
That what happens? Okay. Good.
You standard edition peasants are getting it on Tuesday. Where at 10 a.m. on Friday, I will be at Best Buy. Like, open the doors, I want my fucking game.
I wouldn't put it past you. I'm not surprised. That's okay. I would be the same way, though. Absolutely.
Like, I'm seriously considering skipping getting, like, the steelbook and everything just to get it at midnight instead. But I figure, no, I'll wait the 10 hours. Crying.
I'm sure you'll survive, Joe.
I don't know.
You'll survive.
I really don't know. But yeah, fucking Forza, man. God damn, I can't wait.
Yeah, dude, I'm pumped.
I can't really wait.
That was the only game on my radar of something that I need to pick up like at lunch. So,
10 whole hours. What will you do with yourself? I don't know. I might take some fucking Halcyon and just knock myself out until the morning.
So you don't have to think about it.
So there won't be people streaming it, and I'll just be sitting watching the streams, like just sobbing quietly to myself. I want to play it so bad. Oh my God. It's just such unanimous praise for this game has me so much more excited.
Me too. Because I was obviously I was slightly on the fence, because going from 1 to 2, I felt like was a slight downgrade, not by much. It was still enjoyable, but I liked 1 more. And all of the updates that they've been doing to the new one, and just the way that you're going about and getting all the missions and all that kind of stuff, I like the idea of this one a lot more.
It feels a lot more, from what I could tell and from what I'm reading, is that progression-wise, it feels more like 1, where it's just an open world to go where you want, do what you want, and it's not like 2, where you had to go here, you had to go here, you had to go here.
Yeah, I hated that shit. Hated that shit.
What about you, CJ?
I played the demo. I can't afford that game. It was really nice. It didn't save my progress. I only put like an hour into it.
Yeah,
but,
the demo never saves your progress.
But it was a lot of fun. I wish that I could afford it.
Sell your body on the corner, man.
I don't think I'd get much.
Probably not, but that just means you got to sell it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck finding buyers for that.
Quantity over quality.
Just like
what they say,
Craigslist, and be like, kick me in the balls for $10, and all you need is 6 people. All you need is 6 people to kick you in the balls for $10.
I don't think that's worth it.
Start a GoFundMe,
dude. Just wear it. Wear a cup. How are they going to know?
I mean, they'll feel it when they kick.
Well, so you'll already have the money. It won't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, in my neighborhood, that'll get you beat up.
You could always do like the SML podcast and start a GoFundMe, like our GoFundMe for the PlayStation VR, which is it's still hanging out at $345 out of $550. I think we could do it.
We're close. We're very close.
Haven't had much movement lately, but I'm hoping this week maybe we'll see a couple. No one's going to give anything else.
You got this. I'm sure within like a couple of months, maybe.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
2018, we're going to have it.
It won't take that long.
Nah,
it won't take that long.
See, Sion thinks we'll see some movement, so I think we'll see some movement. I think it's going to happen.
I mean, Sion.
It's going to
help.
So what else you got, Joe? What's next?
Games with Gold for October were announced.
I don't think I saw them.
Seems fairly early. Like, we're still a week and a half away from the end of the month. I figured it would be another week away, but they announced them today. Xbox One is getting, for the entire month of October, Super Mega Baseball. Good game.
Good game.
Good game. Baseball. And then October 16th through November 15th is The Escapists. Also a good game. Nothing mind-blowing, but...
Yeah.
I have them both. I mean, they're both great quality games. People obviously complaining because they're not, you know, $60 games.
Sure.
So
I mean, they even complained in August when it was $60 games. What do you expect?
They could give us Gears of War 4 on launch for free, and people will bitch that, but it doesn't have any of the DLC.
It doesn't have exo jumps like Call of Duty.
Why do I have to buy the season pass? This is bullshit.
Obviously just trying to sell DLC.
It's clear that they're just trying to rip us off by giving us a free game and then expecting us to buy a season pass.
You're slowly turning into like Droopy the dog.
Season pass.
Oh my god.
But yeah, they're both great games, and I'm excited that maybe more people will start playing Super Mega Baseball, because that game is fucking awesome.
The game is really fun. Game's great.
And they're both games from companies that we're friends with. Team 17 with The Escapists and Metalhead Software with Super Mega Baseball. So that's pretty cool.
I still never played The Escapists, so I'm actually pretty pumped to finally check that out.
You should do
never
that.
Never played either.
Yep.
You should do it. Now you'll get to, because it's going to be free.
It's going to be free!
It'll go.
I like
backlog.
Free stuff.
And then,
yeah, me too.
I'm a bit more excited with the 360 lineup. From the 1st through the 15th is MX versus ATV Reflex, which...
I'll take that. I haven't played an MX ATV game in a long time.
One of the few backward compatible titles I don't have.
Oh, hey.
There you go.
And it's still surprisingly held its value. Like, GameStop still charges like $25 for it. So
fuck that shit.
Yeah. So now I'll get it free.
And I'm surprised it's held its value, though, with its servers being shut down.
A lot of people still claim it's, like, the last really, really good MX ATV game.
Oh, well, then I will take that, because, like I said, I haven't played it in a while.
I don't know.
We'll find out together.
And then 16th through the 31st is I Am Alive.
That's the one I want.
I don't think I played that either.
That one looks the best.
I didn't play that either.
Yeah, the only one I don't have is MX Reflex, so, you know, that's $30 I get to save at least. But
yeah.
Otherwise, $85 of free games, quote unquote free, but decent month. I think this seems like a good month for Sony to drop something huge, especially because as of when you're hearing this on YouTube or MP3 over the weekend, PlayStation Plus is now officially $10 more. If you're listening to this live in the chat, you have like 3 hours left to get it at $50 before it goes to 60.
I thought it already did.
Nope.
Ain't that some shit?
Huh. Nope. Today's the last day.
That's surprising.
So what? Do you think that they'll drop some bombs then?
I would hope so, but who knows?
Probably not.
It is Sony.
Probably not.
Everybody be like, hey, Sony, here's this really cool opportunity you could have to do something. Oh, wait, never mind. You're not going to do it.
Yeah.
They're just going to give the Assassin's Creed Chronicles whole series for free, and that's going to be your whole month.
Oh,
they'll give it out in chunks.
Well, hey, we got one of them free right now on Xbox One, so technically we're starting the trend.
Yeah, but that wasn't our home month.
True.
Wasn't.
Although last month's PlayStation Plus weren't bad, so maybe they got it.
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, I think if they want to calm the near riots that are going to ensue from the price going up, they need to drop something big next month.
Yeah, it'd be like, it's worth the extra $10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if they were smart, they would, for Halloween, they would drop, like, Resident Evil 5 or something.
Well, that would be a decent drop.
Clearly, it's not going to be 4. Clearly, it won't be 4 because it just came out. But
right.
They'll probably get the worst one, which is 6.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Or what was it? The Umbrella Chronicle thing?
Oh, man.
Oh, wait. Umbrella Corpse?
Umbrella Corpse. I think there might be riots if they tried giving that one free.
I thought you meant Raccoon City at first. I'm like,
no, that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
I actually kind of like that one.
Oh, Operation Raccoon City on the PS3. Maybe. Who knows?
It was fun.
Who knows?
Hey, they're buddies with Capcom. Just give every Resident Evil game for free next month.
If they did that, that would be retarded.
That'd be cool. I think it'd be neat.
Yeah, sure, it would be insane.
The PS3 could still play PS1 games, so they could just give all the PS1 games. I think it'd be neat.
That'd be cool. That'd be interesting.
It'd be neat.
I would consider that.
So, Xbox backward compatibility update. There was one game added this week. Clearly a huge one. Word Puzzle.
What?
Really?
Where the fuck is Skate 3?
Believe it or not, Phil Spencer was asked about it on Twitter, and he said that he wants it just as bad as everyone else, and they are still working on it. So,
well, tell them to bite my penis, because what the fuck? This should have happened like ages ago. They had it on the stage when they announced backwards compatibility. It was in the background, in the first fucking row.
Dude, all three Risen games were shown as well. And
Trials Evolution.
MX Reflex has been. That's actually an older compatible title. It was just announced for part of Games with Gold next month. We just covered that, No Pulse. Showing in fashionably late.
Damn,
of course. Whoa. My ears just blew up.
From what?
What happened there? I think it was an ad. An ad came out. A rogue ad just came out of nowhere.
Sons of bitches.
Trying to get you.
I know.
Are you on Twitch? They have ads.
No, I'm not.
You know we're not on Twitch. Ads. We're not on Twitch right now. You know that, right? close Twitch.
Me? Yes. No, I know that.
But yeah. Oh my God, are you dying?
Fuck. Yes, a little.
I like that. I could watch you once on Skype, and then I'll just look over at the other window and watch you do it again on the stream. Just turn away and lose a lung.
Yeah, yeah. These things happen sometimes. I apologize.
Yeah, but
I'm human.
Phil Spencer did say that there's some good stuff coming. So hopefully we'll see something big coming. I really hope so. You mentioned that Skate was one of the ones that were announced way back when. The entire Risen series was part of that as well. And they're all on sale this week. So I'm hoping, like, fingers crossed, maybe tomorrow, because they sometimes announce stuff on Thursday as well, that they'll be like, hey, here's 10 more titles that are compatible, including the entire Risen series.
Including Skate 3.
Skate 3 and all the Bioshocks.
Oh, they're not going to do the Bioshocks now. Now that they've released the collection, they're not going to do it.
Didn't we talk about this last episode, CJ?
We did, but I still feel the same.
I think they're going to wait like a month or two after, you know, the Bioshock collection gets some sales, and then they'll be like, yeah, now it's compatible.
Yeah, they just want to take your money first, yeah. Obviously.
Hey, I can understand it.
I can't. But whatever.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Some more Microsoft news, because it's basically all I've seen this week. Like, there's been no news this week at all. But ReCore is going to be getting a patch to help address loading time issues, which, honestly, my time with the game, I didn't really have a problem with. I thought the loading times were fine, but some people have had, like, 2-minute-long loads. And
ew.
I don't know.
Ew.
I counted,
was
like...
Was it as bad as, what was it, Dungeons & Dragons?
No.
Sword Coast Legends or something like that?
Oh my God, the load times on that were so bad.
Dude, it was insane.
Such a good game.
Yeah, they were fucking nuts. They were crazy. But
they're working on a patch, so that'll help improve things.
Yay.
Yeah.
Everybody clap.
Microsoft is releasing another Xbox One bundle, which is actually available now in the U.S. and Canada. It is a white 500 gig system, and surprisingly, it's taken this long. It is a Minecraft bundle.
Okay.
Oh, I could understand.
I'm surprised that they didn't make a bundle for that yet.
I know. It is the Xbox One edition of the game. Also includes the Windows 10 edition beta download, the Minecraft Favorites Pack, which includes the Festive Mashup Pack, the Halo Mashup Pack, the Fantasy Texture Pack, Natural Texture Pack, City Texture Pack, and the Battle and Beasts Skin Pack 1 and 2. And then it also has the Minecraft Builders Pack, which includes Biome Settlers Skin, Cartoon Textures, Candy Textures, Plastic Textures, Pattern Texture, and Greek Mythology Mashup. All of that, $2.99.
That is worth it if you're a Minecraft fan.
Indeed.
I think absolutely.
I think this is a good way to convince the people who are still like hanging on to the 360 for Minecraft to make the jump, because they're giving you a shitload of content. And, of course, with the Xbox One version.
I love the Xbox One version of Minecraft.
Way better.
It runs really, really well, yeah.
Are those all the packs? Those are all the ones included with the system bundle. It's clearly not all the packs that they've released, because they have released an absurd amount of packs over the years.
Wish we could have the Mario one, but that's Nintendo only.
Yeah. I don't think we'll ever see that one show up on other platforms.
No. Never. Never.
Yeah. But, $2.99. I think that's a pretty decent deal.
Yeah, but they need to stop selling 500 gig systems and just move up to 1 terabyte as a standard. At least.
I don't know.
It's not absolutely necessary, because like I have a 500 gig system and I have an external hard drive that I have plugged into it.
Yeah.
Which that's not even a terabyte, and I still don't have it full.
Yeah,
I don't know how.
I don't think they need to you know, make a larger hard drive standard because of the external support. It's like Nintendo with the right. Wii U. They're like, yeah, 8 and 32 gig. Why is it that low? Because we don't want to charge you out the ass for storage. Just buy your own and plug it in because it works.
Okay, right. but there's a limit of 2 external hard drives, and if you have the same Xbox One for like 10 years, that's going to fill up. Having a little bit more room in the internal helps because you can't really... Yeah, like no.
I just uninstall and reinstall stuff as I need it.
See, I can't do that because I don't want to wait for him.
He almost has a 5 terabyte full. I have an 8 and a 6.
God damn! Mm-hmm. I have a 2 terabyte, and then I got my 500 gigs in the thing.
Yeah, I'm at like 44% full. So trust me, I know how it is when it comes to storage. And let's not forget that I am an outlier in the world of like owning games because of this show and all the review stuff that we've gotten and all the stuff that I've purchased on my own. Plus Rock Band. Let's not forget my absurd amount of Rock Band.
Rock Band alone, you could probably almost fill up a hard drive.
Yeah. When they announced the Final Fantasy 15 PS4, the slim one, that's like $450 for some stupid reason. And I was talking with John Drake on Facebook, and I was like, you know, 1 terabyte, like, why is it only 1 terabyte? Like, why does Sony keep doing 1 terabyte systems? He's like, oh, well, it's really easy to just open it up and swap in with a 2 terabyte drive. And I'm like, listen, John, I have 14 terabyte of storage on my Xbox One plugged in. Let me do that on PlayStation.
Yeah, right? God forbid.
It's just the fact that Sony...
It's a requirement at this point. Like, the fact that a modern system is incapable of, you know, reciprocating everything that it needs for an external drive, that's stupid. That's stupid. How could you expect someone, like, the size of the files that you need to install to run these games nowadays? Like, let's be honest. Yes, most people will probably reach the cap of whatever it is that their storage is. But, like I mentioned before, you can uninstall them and reinstall them.
Yeah, but then if you have data caps, really fucking that's tough, another issue.
Right, right. But at the same time, like... It's not an issue when you have such an easy way to add storage.
Yeah.
When you make it difficult to add storage, that's when it becomes an issue.
Yeah. I wish Sony would just cut the bullshit and let us plug in externals.
Oh, well, I guess keep wishing.
Yeah. Wishing one hand, shit in the other. See which one fills up first.
Basically.
Yeah.
They just don't want to do it because they're worried about stupid people actually ripping off games and pirating them.
And, you know, that's not an issue on any other consoles right now, any current consoles.
DRM prevents that.
Yeah. You know, people complain about, there's online DRM. Yeah, well, it's an online society. Everything is online now.
Yeah, there's no reason to
I understand that there's always going to be those people who live in, like, the boonies and have to rely on, like, shitty satellite internet, but I don't know. Move.
Move.
Move. Move, bitch. Get out the way.
If you rely on the internet that much and you live out in the boonies, then you're doing it wrong.
And I'm not worried about offending them because with their piss poor internet, they can't listen to our show anyway.
I don't know about that.
They're too long. They're too big.
It's still buffering. Like, they're barely past the intro right now.
Mm-hmm.
They'll hear us in 2018.
About Forza.
They're just getting to the Forza stuff.
Not like, even.
A 4 out of 10. What the fuck?
No, they're just like, that sounds amazing.
I'm going to have to look up that review next week.
God damn it.
That sounds amazing.
I just got you that. Oh my God.
People out in the boonies know they have shitty internet. Yeah, true. I don't know. No Paul,
spend the money and get like T1 satellite.
People complain about always online. How are you complaining about this? Did you write a letter and put it in the mail?
Yeah, right.
That was
ridiculous.
A sternly worded letter.
I know, listen, I know a friend of mine that uses his PlayStation 4 off of his phone.
Yeah.
Anytime that he needs to do an update or something like that. Like, if you want it bad enough, you'll figure out a way to get around it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just ridiculous, but I don't know. And then all these people are complaining about, I want to have, you know, the sale price is a physical, but I want to have the convenience of digital. Why can't I just put a disc in and, you know, install it and then never need the disc again? Guess what? They tried doing that and everybody bitched about it. So they changed it.
I wish they wouldn't, though. Because I actually would think that would be amazing. And stunning. Yeah. But
you,
I never
you
traded
think
games
that,
anyway.
That
sounds amazing.
I know what you're going to say. I'm stopping you right now.
Oh, you're not surprised?
Well, it's kind of like old. It's kind of like
I'm
the
not
old
surprised,
PC games. That's originally what they were trying to do. And having like a small collection of discs that technically don't really need to be there unless you need to reinstall it. Like, I'm perfectly fine with that. I grew up on that shit. I am absolutely okay with that. For whatever reason, I don't understand why other people are so against it, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. But people bitch, so they changed it. Oh my god, I turned Southern when I said bitched. People bitch.
God damn, they whined and complained. God damn it.
Bitching
and complaining about their slow internet.
Gosh dang it. But anyway,
goddamn their slow internet.
I got two more things in news quick. One, this is how we're scraping the bottom of the barrel for news this week.
Because there's like nothing.
Super Mario Maker on the 3DS will not have 3D visuals.
At all?
Okay.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah, that's again, how we're scraping the bottom of the barrel for news this week.
Well, the Nintendo NX is apparently going to have a Pokemon game.
Yeah. Don't know what kind. So, maybe it'll just be Pokemon Snap 2, which would be cool.
I'll play that game.
Indeed.
And I guess, like, what was it? Sony, Nintendo pretty much confirmed that it is, like, that the NX is a console handheld hybrid thing. We don't know what in that regard, but they came out and said, like, yeah, it's gonna be pretty much both.
No, Paul saying, did you talk about how Sony is crying about how PS4 Pros isn't really 4K? We talked about it when it was first announced.
Yeah, that was last week, 2 weeks ago,
something like that. It's all like up-resed, upscaled to 4K.
It's a bunch of baloney.
Even Microsoft is like, listen, we talked with how many developers and their system just doesn't have the power to push native 4K. No offense to what they're doing. Like, I don't know what they're doing with what they're doing. There's going to be people out there who won't notice the difference between upscaled and native 4K. But then there's going to be people who are like, I see 4 less pixels and this is bullshit.
Wow.
But
4 less pixels.
I can understand like the upscaled and everything else. I still think it's fucking stupid that they don't have a 4K Blu-ray drive.
I think it's stupid that they don't have a 4K Blu-ray drive. I think it's extremely stupid that they're trying to pull this kind of shit and not have it legitimately doing 4K. Yeah. Like, why even release in a whole nother fucking sit? Like, I understand like how Xbox is doing like the HDR thing and they're not claiming this to be like a different, like, better, crazier version of the system that people already have when it comes to the slim model. Like, it's just like, oh hey, we fixed some stuff, we made it a little bit better, you get some perks for getting a newer system. That's about it.
And even like, with like the HDR stuff, even developers didn't know that they were going to support 1080p HDR until they announced it. And even still, most TVs, like nearly every TV that has HDR is a 4K TV. So yeah. 1080p HDR doesn't really matter that much. You know, Amazon and Netflix have both said that there is a way to transmit 1080p HDR video content, but they're not going to do it because any HDR content that they stream is going to be 4K because there's no point in segregating their videos even more.
Right.
And there is 1080p HDR, like it is a thing, but no one supports it because there's no fucking point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think the whole PS4 Pro, I think they should have delayed it because there were rumors that they were going to delay it to, you know, beef it up a bit to compare more to Scorpio. I think they should have because as it stands, for the people who don't have a PS4, yeah, it seems like the smarter option to go with for a little more horsepower. But for the, you know, for the casual customer, there's no fucking point.
Yeah, there is no point.
They're just buying an uglier dumb console.
It is an uglier console. As if they couldn't make an ugly console uglier.
Yeah. Now it's
the white PS4 is nice, but the Slim is ugly, and then this is ugly as well. They're just both
fucking
heaps
Pro.
Of ugly.
It's just,
yeah, it's bad.
I don't know.
Like what was the other thing?
Good looking system. Like the the PS3 looked pretty nice. The PS1, yeah, an iconic design. I don't know.
I'll agree with the PS1 and even the PS2.
I'll agree with
fat.
The PS1. I'll agree with the PS1, and my heart will still forever be set on a Dreamcast.
The GameCube.
I don't care. Nice. I don't even care.
Cube. Yeah. And then last bit of news I had. Chris, did you hear about this week's Rock Band DLC?
No.
We found out what the three question marks were.
What's that?
Ozfest meets Knotfest 2016 pack.
So I'm going to be interested in pretty much all of these songs, maybe.
Ozzy Osbourne, Road to Nowhere.
Ooh, that's a good song.
Slipknot, The Devil and I.
I like that song.
Because, Ozfest and Knotfest, sure. You have to have one of each. And then I think you'll be excited about Megadeth, Dystopia.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down with that.
So Ozzy, Slipknot, and Megadeth.
I'm actually more pumped about the Ozzy song because that's a good pick. That's a very good pick.
And even cooler is that this is like the return of a three-pack. It's been so long since they had a three-pack with the 50-cent discount.
Well,
50 cents, yay.
Dude, that 50 cents adds
that
the
shit
fuck
adds up,
dude.
Yep. Especially when you have as much DLC as Joe does.
Especially when you have 2,200 songs.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that 50 Cent is confirmed for the next Rock Band DLC?
I wouldn't be shocked at this point.
They have some of his stuff in Rock Band at some point, right?
50 Cent? No. I think Dance Central.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see that. Dance Central.
Like, I'm curious to see how many songs I'm up to now.
No clue.
Scroll down, letter R.
RBI, I'm just looking at no places.
Rayman, Roblox, Rock Band 4. There we go. Installed. Let's see. It's probably gonna take a couple of seconds to recognize all the fucking files. 2,044.
Wait.
Okay.
Damn. Okay. They have that many songs.
There's way more.
Oh, there's so many more that haven't made the jump from last gen to this gen, mainly Rock Band Network, and then a bunch of pulled content as well.
Yep.
The stuff they don't have the license for that hopefully will be made available eventually, but who knows? No Pulse is saying the same shit, but on a delay. That's because you're on your phone. They can't help it.
It's possible.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all the news I got. I don't know if you guys have anything else.
There really hasn't been that much news.
I know. It's been such a slow week. Like I was looking for all the news I could, and like I couldn't find anything.
Hey, that's okay. Maybe we'll have a sub 2 hour show. That would be wonderful because I still have to go get groceries and still do a bunch of other shit. So
sounds good. So should we just get right into the reviews?
Let's just get right into it.
Let's dive in. Let's kick things off with some walking simulators. What do you think?
Walking simulators?
Yes. First game to talk about this week is called Dear Esther Landmark Edition, developed by the Chinese Room, published by our friends at Curve Digital. It released September 20th for $9.99 with a 20% launch discount. The critically acclaimed Dear Esther is finally available for current consoles. Dear Esther immerses you in a stunningly realized world, a remote and desolate island somewhere in the Outer Hebrides? I don't know.
That's a word.
Sure.
Words. As you step forwards, a voice begins to read fragments of a letter, Dear Esther, and so begins a journey through one of the most original first-person games of recent years. Abandoning traditional gameplay for a pure story-driven experience, Dear Esther fuses its beautiful environments with a breathtaking soundtrack to tell a powerful story of love, loss, guilt, and redemption. Dear Esther Landmark Edition features a director's commentary mode that allows players to explore the island and learn what inspired the game and how it was crafted by the Chinese Room and Rob Briscoe. This is a fairly famous, again, walking simulator. This is one of the games, like this and Gone Home kind of kickstarted the whole walking simulator genre. I guess Walksploration is a better one. Like
Walking simulator tends to be the thing that pops up in Steam a lot as far as like the user defined tags.
Yeah.
Those tend to pop up a lot. And I tend to go buy a lot of the ones on there because, you know, let's be honest, the PC gaming community is really anal about that shit. So
yeah, and to be fair, this really is a straight up walking simulator. They're all the face buttons, all the shoulder buttons, all they do is zoom in.
Every single button.
Everything. It just zooms in.
Interesting.
So it is pretty much you start the game, you walk forward, the narration starts. And you walk through the countryside, you explore the areas. A lot of it is kind of straightforward, just follow the paths. There's some branching areas. Most of them wind up to the same spot eventually, just different paths and different viewpoints. Yeah. And it's all about
the
story.
Visuals are gorgeous. Visuals are really, really
nice. It is a beautiful game. It is, you know, we're going to be talking about another game that's beautiful in a completely different, more animated way. This is beautiful in a very realistic way. Like, I actually...
Yeah, because a lot of these almost look like... If you go to... let's say you're sitting at your computer. If you go to the Steam store and you just look at some of the screenshots that are up on the page, you would swear that they would be, like, artistic paintings. Like, they're very... surreal and very creative. Like, they're just the art style is really, really cool in it.
I'm opening my search.
To me, I look at some of them, like even some of these caves and stuff, and that almost looks like the type of artwork that you would see on like a Magic the Gathering card.
You're talking about the blue caves, right?
Yeah.
That's actually, I took a screenshot and it's my background picture on the Xbox right now.
Makes sense.
It is just
like that. Yeah,
so
it's a very
beautiful,
visual, appealing. Yeah,
the game, again, this is all about the story and just the overall experience. When it started, I'll be honest, it feels kind of, it has a pretentious vibe to it, just because, like, the British accent and, like, the calm, you know, the exploring the island and walking through and softly reading off things to you and walking in the cliff sides and everything
is
else.
That... you feel like it has that pretentious thing just primarily because of the accent and
just the overall feel to it. But as the game progressed, you know, the game doesn't come out and like pour all the details of the story into your face. It's a very subtle storytelling method.
I would presume
a lot of kind of like reading between the lines for stuff. And like towards the end of the game, as I was climbing like the final ascent on the path and, you know, the wind is picking up and you could feel a storm is coming in. Like, I had like a real sense of dread in my gut. And, you know, end of the story happened.
That's an interesting thing to feel.
It really is. It's a very emotional, moving experience. I don't want to say game because... it really isn't a game. We've covered games like this before, and it's very much more a story experience with walking.
Cool.
There's a lot of a lot of hold forward and just go and listen and enjoy the visuals and look around. No Pulse is naming one of the other games coming that, yes, a completely different kind of gut check. But Dear Esther, it's just a phenomenal experience. And it's one of those games that reviews don't really do justice to it. Asking if it's like an interactive audiobook. Kind of, yeah. It's not just all text on the screen, but it's just like you're being told the story as you're just exploring and looking at the visuals. And
now there's not multiple paths,
no,
right? It's just
no.
Like one ending.
There's a couple of, I don't want to say like branching path, but there's like just dead end areas that you could explore and you'll get like some extra audio clips there. One of the achievements in the game is to hear all of the narrator's voiceovers. So you'll have to, you know, there's just a handful of
find
spots
all
where
the
you
weird
kinda
ones.
Go yeah. off the beaten path. To kind of give it more of a game-ish feel, there are a very minor amount of collectibles. There are urns that are scattered around the four chapters, one in each. That is as game-like as it gets.
Well, so it's better than nothing, I guess, right?
Four collectibles.
I mean, is it better than nothing? Some people hate collectibles.
I think in the overall scheme of things, it adds to it, having the urns there.
Sure.
I
agree.
It fits. Like, it's a collectible that makes sense.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But
it does.
You said it did.
I think
that was a perfect response, actually. I mean, you said it did. Fuck.
Like. Yeah. Hey, I'm always right. One of the quote unquote downsides to this is that it is a very short experience.
I mean, most of these games tend to be relatively short, no?
Yeah,
fairly, but this one seemed extra short. Like, I beat it and I did a lot of exploring just to make sure I found everything. I didn't use a guide, I didn't use a walkthrough, so I just did this all on my own. Completed in an hour and a half.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah, but it was a worthwhile hour and a half to help kind of extend things. There is a developer commentary mode where you can replay the game, and instead of the storyline, they just have developer commentary bubbles that you walk up to and listen to, you know, them
like
talk about the game.
Video.
And there's a lot of them. Like, there's a lot of extra content with the commentaries. For $10, I think it's worth it. I really do. Because you could spend $10.
I mean, what? That's the equivalent of a movie.
Yeah.
Right?
And you can easily get, you know, the hour and a half playthrough, which is a movie right there, or you also get the director commentary, which is significantly longer with all the extra content there. And just $10, I say buy it. It's for the story. You were not buying a game. You were buying a story.
Plus, with the walking simulators, you don't want it to drag on too long or it starts to get boring.
Yeah, it could easily overstay its welcome, and it didn't. I finished it, and I was like, that was a fantastic experience. I don't know if I would go back and play it again anytime, but
I would assume that a lot of those are pretty much designed to just be like a hit it and quit it kind of thing. Yeah,
hit it and quit it.
Well,
squirt on its digital back and, you know,
see ya.
Leave the 20 on the counter. Some bus fare. For, yeah, $10, especially if you grab it with the launch discount for $7.99, buy it. I think there's definitely worse ways to spend an hour and a half, and it's not for everyone. It is a very, very emotional and not in your face way kind of story. It's a very subtle story, but it's definitely worth picking up.
Cool.
That sounds amazing.
Wow. Wow.
That
Is that the first
amazing.
Legitimate one?
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, and you know what?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
We heard that.
That was a good cue on that laugh. That was A plus.
That sounds amazing.
Anyway, next game to talk about is called Firewatch, reviewed by our dear friend No Pulse / Uneaten Lake. I don't know what the fuck he wants me to call him. He's in.
He's a person.
Technically, Uneaten Lake is how he wrote in the review, but he's in the chat as No Pulse. So,
well, right now you're Uneaten Lake.
Yeah. So developed
too many damn names.
Developed and published by too many names: Lividius, Iron Snuff, and fucking Krepter. CJ. How many do you have?
Okay, fair enough. But
at least I'm Joe. My digital name is Joe.
Joe Cam.
I mean, shit. Anyway, Firewatch, developed and published by Campo Santo, released September 21st on the Xbox One for $19.99. It is releasing September 30th in Europe due to some kind of like PEGI rating issue. Just a slight delay. Previously released on the PS4 and Steam, Firewatch is a single-player, first-person mystery set in the Wyoming wilderness, where your only emotional lifeline is the person on the other end of a handheld radio. Chris, I'm hoping you already checked your email and have the message
ready
to go.
I have the email up.
All right, so take it away.
All righty. I want to start off this review with a quote from the Firewatch page. A note. Firewatch is a video game about adults having adult conversations about adult things. If you plan on playing with a younger gamer, that might be good to know going in. Now I know why Joe wanted me to do this and not Krepter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Firewatch.
Like you knew.
Technically, you knew. I like No Pulse more than you.
Oh, I'm on the show and he's
lol.
Like, fuck him.
Lol. Okay. Shots fired. Anywho.
Fuck you. No, Firewatch. Fuck you.
Firewatch is a story-heavy adventure game. Originally released earlier this year on the PS4 and PC, the Xbox One version brings with it the original game, a commentary version, as well as a free roam game mode that is stripped of the story. Commentary is done in a museum audio tape way. You go through each section and find a station with a tape in it. This tape has multiple people from the development team talking about the game. It's an added bonus that gives the game at least one more playthrough for those who are interested in the game's development. Critics would probably refer to it as a walking simulator, but I'm not sure that's bad criticism since most games that are called walking simulators have really interesting stories. I find myself liking the majority of those types of games because it's a break from the regular FPS, MOBA, racing games that I find myself playing.
Indeed.
From a distance, this game looks like it could be a survival game where you have to collect resources and make sure you're healthy to move on to the next day. Thankfully, it's not. I don't believe there is a way to die or have the game stop you from finishing it. The story in Firewatch has you in the role of Henry, a 40-something man who ends up taking a job as a fire lookout after his home life takes a turn that makes him want to escape that reality.
You spelled role wrong.
What?
He spelled role wrong.
Wow.
It's the wrong role.
Well, whatever.
He's talking about like a dinner roll.
Hey, I was able to read the sentence. The people that are listening aren't going to be any wiser. Anywho. It's not like I pronounce it differently. The start of the game has you work through this backstory of Henry, and it's one of the moments in the game that really struck me emotionally. It made me think about my own life, my wife, and how we will end up having rough decisions to make in the future and other topics that plague people as they get older. I found that this way of filling in the backstory of Henry was well done, and I actually wish this part of the game was longer. after the backstory is filled in, you end up finding your station and meeting Delilah, your boss. Delilah is an interesting character, and the game's much-needed humor starts to show its face after the pretty grim start of the game. Your only interaction with Delilah is via your trusty radio that you will have to have with you the whole game. When you come across new items and areas, you will be triggered that you can ask Delilah about that item or area. These can be skipped as well as responses back to Delilah in most cases. I would highly advise to not skip any dialogue, as it is one of the main selling points to Firewatch. From a programming standpoint, a lot of the dialogue trees are pretty interesting, as well as some of the actions you can take. This means that early on in the game, you will come across two teens in a lake. Do you decide to take their boombox back with you to your tower, or do you throw it in the lake at the teens? The teens end up reacting to you based off of your actions. When I went through on my second playthrough, I ended up doing something different, and it was pretty neat to see that it wasn't just some canned dialogue that would play every time. All of the conversations that you have in Firewatch seem like you're actually talking to someone. There are very few games that I've played before where I didn't feel like I was just triggering dialogue, but actually having a conversation with another person.
Yeah, it was a very natural feel to the conversations in the game.
That's one of the things that I heard about it a lot before even reading this.
Which it's refreshing. Well. And even like the language, it's an M-rated game, so there's salty language in it. But it's not like,
salty.
You fucking piece of shit. It's just like, it felt natural.
Right.
There was also a penis in the game.
There was. And hilariously enough, when I was watching the beginning and I saw the sketch, I was like, oh my God, that dude looks like me.
Is it completely accurate?
My dick is much smaller. Much, much smaller.
Anatomically correct. Anyway, you progress through the game by playing sections of a particular day. You start off on day one, then day two. Then you will end up jumping days and almost weeks at a time. Some of these jumps can be jarring, but really effective transitions from one day to the next. I enjoyed how you felt as though you had a little more to do that day and you're cut off and changing to another day. It keeps the game from being boring and monotonous. The graphics are great and stylized. You can tell from the moment that you step into the Wyoming forest that the artists who make all the textures and the props had a love for what they're doing. You will find a lot of small details in this game if you go looking for them. Things like the synopsis of a book on its back cover, a faucet for water that is from the rain collecting system that's on your watchtower, and little notes that your character makes on his map as he moves around the forest. It's the little touches like these that make the world of Firewatch feel real. Some people may end up picking up every object they find just to check out the detail, while others may not even notice that you can interact with most of the items in your tower. The music and sound effects really flow well. There will be times that the music will get really intense and other times where it's mellow and almost not even playing. The combination of music, art, sound effects leave you feeling like you're playing in a Pixar movie at times. You end up caring for the characters involved and want good things to happen to them. I really enjoyed the time I've spent playing Firewatch. It has a few issues with the ending of the game, but I wouldn't tell anyone to skip the game just based off of the last 30 minutes. As I was playing, I had the thought of, this is my game of the year for 2016, only to get to the end and have that thought change to, this is a game I highly recommend. I feel that the game could have taken a few forks in the plot, and I would have eaten it up and enjoyed it more. In the grand scheme of things, it all makes a lot of sense, though. Your character tries to leave his reality by taking a job in the forest, only come to the realization that he needs to go back to it and take care of things. The only other issue I had were the controls when it came to trying to look at your map. You will pull the map out, but then need to zoom into it and then move around the map to try and find out where you are. It felt a little odd to me when I have to navigate using the map system. I will give this game 100% buy it, though. I loved it, and it shouldn't be missed. When I was playing the game, the achievements didn't work. But if they're the same as the PC, PS4 achievement trophies, then you will probably just have to finish the game to get 100%.
They're actually different. Yeah, they actually...
Ooh, they're different.
There's secret achievements in the game that are basically the same as the other ones, but there are also 5 extra miscellaneous achievements in the game that, you know, they're missable, but there's, like he mentioned, there is a free roam in the game that you can pretty much get everything you need eventually.
Well, there you go.
I completely agree with his buy it recommendation. I have not completed the game myself. I just started it earlier today. But, man, he's not kidding when he says, like, the beginning of the game is just an emotional... Have you seen Up?
Yeah.
Great movie. Yeah.
How did the first 10 minutes of the movie Up make you feel?
Don't remember.
Well, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Up. spoiler alert, it's basically just a backstory of the old guy and his like wife dying, right?
Yeah,
is that what it was? Yeah. I understood it because you kind of have to have some sort of backstory to get him to understand, like, to understand why it's so unlikely for him to bring somebody else into his own little world. So I get it. I understand.
Well, let me put it this way. When I played Firewatch and I got through the intro of the game, I paused it and I went and laid down with Ashley for like a half hour and just held her.
Oh.
Well, that really tells you.
It is.
Damn.
It's heavy. Like, it is really, really heavy. And there's, you know, different choices you can make through it, but everything just, it feels like it all leads to this inevitable just sinking feeling. And it's a really, really powerful way to start off the game. And it's a great hook. And the game itself, you know, there's parts that are just stupidly funny. There's parts that are kind of like dreadful, kind of like a sense of like terror or uneasiness, and it's just a really, really cool game. I know Pappy reviewed it way back when. There's a name we haven't said in a while.
Yeah,
he reviewed it when it first came out on Steam, and I know he had a lot of technical issues with it, but I didn't really have any kind of issues on Xbox One. It, like, every now and then I might have like a couple of frames dropped or just some stutter that it might be loading up, but otherwise the game looked and played really well.
What do you expect? You gotta have some kind of PC that actually works.
But
not to mention PCs are confusing and complicated sometimes.
True.
Yes they are,
and they each have their own personalities. Sometimes they just don't want to run a game.
True.
Yep.
Computers.
The only big complaint I ever heard about this game was that people thought the $20 price tag was too steep.
I could see that. I could absolutely see that. I think me personally, so you said that you didn't complete it, right?
I didn't, Joe? No.
Do you remember roughly how much time you already had sunk into it?
I want to say like 2 hours or so, but I'm like maybe a quarter into the game. I know it's a decent like 5-6 hour experience.
From what I had heard, it was 4 hours.
Huh. Okay, 4-5. Well, I mean, I guess
it's really dependent on how much you explore. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, even for a walking simulator game, I mean, shit, the last one that we just reviewed was an hour and a half, and that was 10.
Yeah. So, hey, the glory of Beam is that No Pulse just says it would be steep if you're just going in for achievements, but if you go through the game with the commentary, it's totally worth it. Again, these are experiences. They're not really games. Like, this has a lot more game elements than Dear Esther, but it's still, they're both very, very story-heavy games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the appeal.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Fair enough.
So let's change gears a bit and talk about some actual games.
Like sound a game good? Game.
Yeah. Let's kick things off with Mystery Chronicle One Way Heroics, developed and published by Spike Chunsoft, released on the PS4 and Steam September 13th for $9.99. Play your way through different maps generated with every playthrough, constantly on the move away from the Calamity of Light, the Shine Raid. To your left and on your final battle with the fallen angel Alma, there's no turning back once this thrilling one-way adventure begins. This is a straight-up roguelike that is you moving right at all times.
That's weird.
It plays, like a roguelike. You know, every step you make, the enemies, everything around you moves. The game doesn't really move unless you are. But you can only, for the most part, travel right because to your left, there is like, you know, they call it the Calamity, the Shine Raid. It's just this wall of light that it destroys everything it touches. So imagine like a nuclear blast where just the blast is moving slowly in one direction at all times.
And you're just running away from it.
Pretty much. And you have to journey to stop the fallen angel and defeat her and end the calamity and return peace to the world for the most part. You know, the part that hasn't already been destroyed.
Yeah, it's not like the whole left side of your screen.
It's not like a lot of RPGs where you destroy it and all the horrible things have been undone. Like, shit still happened.
Okay, then.
It is very much a roguelike in that you're going to die. You're going to die a lot. And the better you do, the more that you can unlock to make your next playthroughs easier. Even to the point where, you know, when a playthrough is over, you can store some of the items you've collected and use them your next playthrough.
Oh, that's pretty broken, actually.
Not like always.
Like, yeah.
Didn't Rogue Legacy have something like that?
Not quite.
Like, you could carry some of the money in between, like the money that you save, but every time you go back in, he takes a chunk of the money away from your descendants.
Yeah. But, I need to play that game more again.
This plays a lot more like Shirin the Wanderer that we covered a couple of weeks ago. It's, again, every turn that you make in the game, everything else moves around you. The action is, you know, based on, like, grid-based, so up, down, left, right, and diagonals. You can attack in pretty much one square in every direction. Some weapons will let you attack two squares ahead. You'll come across buildings that you can explore, enemies that you got to take out, villagers that you can talk to, and shopkeepers and whatnot. And of course, if you leave them, they will die eventually because the Shine Raid will take out everything. There is a ridiculous amount of different things that you can unlock and earn through the game, including some cool hidden characters from like the Danganronpa games, some fun guest characters. The funniest thing is that it is rated M, and I can't tell why.
Okay.
Is it really rated M?
It is rated M, and based on, like, I was reading the PlayStation blog about it, and the guy was like, yeah, apparently some, like, slightly suggestive lines of dialogue in, like, standard, I don't know, fan service-y type anime waifus was enough somehow to make it an M rating. Like,
that's funny.
There were times I was playing this and I'm like, how is this not like an E10 game? Yeah, you know, some of the drawings, I guess, could warrant a teen rating, but
I was gonna say probably teen.
There's no way this should be an M rated game. So if you're listening and your kids want to play this, it's not bad. It really is. This is not Grand Theft Auto. There's, like, no profanity, no blood, no violence. There's some risque-style drawings, but no actual nudity in the game. It's just, like,
comical mischief.
Yeah. It's just, it's...
That's one of my favorite things. I still don't understand what they mean by that when they put that on a ratings box.
Yeah.
Comical mischief.
It's just anime waifu stuff. For $10, there is a shitload of content in this game. Like, there is a lot to do. And even better is that, you know, you get it on PS4 and Vita, and it's cross save, so I could go to bed, play some shit on my Vita, upload my save, and continue on my PS4, which is fun.
That's nice.
Really addictive. I keep wanting to go back. Plenty of difficulty levels. Again, tons of stuff to unlock, and it's just a fun game. So $10, fuck it, buy it, do it up.
Would you say this game is kawaii?
Yatta.
Well, senpai.
I'm sad.
I'm very sad. I'm happy to see games like this make it over. I wish it would come to Xbox, but you know, I guess Spike Chunsoft is more of a PlayStation leaning company, but can't fault them for that. But still,
PlayStation anime stuff sells better than on Xbox, I suppose.
It's still like a really, really cool game. So I had a lot of fun with it. I could see myself spending a lot more time with it.
And these screenshots look like there's a shit ton of classes to choose from.
Oh, God, there are so many. And like, there's different currency. Like, there's actual money that you spend in the games. And then there's dream stones that you can unlock to, you know, expand certain things in the game. There's, God, what the fuck was the other currency that you earn after every playthrough that you can use to, like, earn new perks and new classes? And there's other classes that instead of, like, going after the Fallen Angel, you can just do, like, a different quest. And the character's like, you're not going to fight the Fallen Angel? You're like, no, I want to unlock a different character class. It's just like, well, okay, I guess. There's just so much shit to do, and it's funny. So, yeah, buy it. Good stuff.
Cool.
Next game. What? Who said what?
What was next?
CJ, were you saying something?
Oh, I just agreed. I was like, indubitably.
Oh, well, fuck you. Next game. Well, we'll keep it on the PS4 side of things. The next game is called Rive, developed and published by Two Tribes. Released September 13th on the PS4 and Steam for $14.99. Rive is the metal-wrecking robot-hacking shooter you've been waiting for. This 360-degree shooter-platformer hybrid lets you choreograph a dance of destruction in insanely spectacular battles and set pieces. The game plays a lot like a Metroidvania, but it's level-based and, like, mission-based, so it's not like you unlock new stuff and go back and explore stuff. It's very mission-driven, but it plays like a Metroidvania in, like, the open areas. The missions will lead you back to the same areas here and there, so you'll get to re-explore those areas with different abilities. It plays like a twin-stick shooter, kind of, 2D platformer, where you fire your gun in, you know, 360 degrees around you, enemies coming at you in all directions, there's platforming to deal with, the game is hard. Like, this game doesn't fuck around. When you start the game, it doesn't let you choose a difficulty. The starting difficulty is just hard mode.
Amazing.
Not even fucking with it, around with it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
If you die enough in certain areas, it allows you to select like soft difficulty.
So it, I love the it's, soft.
It's basically soft. Mocking you for sucking.
SAWFT.
Oh, yeah.
I have fortunately not been bad enough to find out yet.
But fortunately,
I have a feeling it could definitely happen because there were some areas in the game that just they felt kind of unfair. Like there was one section where you had outrun lava that was creeping at you, and you had to make like the perfect decisions of like, I'm going to shoot this and go down this way, because if you don't, you die. Like some of the areas just they kind of had an unfair feeling to it. Otherwise, it's just a tough game. It's tough game. It's fun. The writing in it is fantastic. Like, these are the guys who made the Tokitori games. They're, like, cute little animated platform puzzlers. In this game, it feels like they finally got to, like, take the gloves off and do something a bit more grown up. I mean, it's, you know,
They just made it to season 2 of anime.
Like, the star of the game is just, like, a mustache-having, like, gruff, like, I'm going to shoot everything, robots, blow them all up, stuff like that. It's just funny. It's well-written. The platforming feels good. The controls are kind of awkward. They have the jump on L2, like, the left trigger, which, you know, I can understand because you need, you know, one analog stick to move around, the other analog stick to shoot. And it's, you know, you don't have, the other trigger isn't, you don't hold it down to shoot. It's just you push a direction, you're shooting.
Okay.
So it, there's no ammo to worry about. You're basically just shooting all the time. There's even a trophy to just shoot for 2 minutes straight. It's called it's called Spray and Pray.
Yeah.
So there's no, like, limited ammo then? Just basically
no,
just
the only limit is on, like, the special weapons, which are tied to the right trigger. Those are basically, you have one of them, and you use it, and then you got to pick up an ammo crate, and you get another one.
Oh, okay.
Which they drop frequently enough that you shouldn't be afraid to use them. But the jumping on the right trigger, or on the left trigger, it felt so awkward in spots.
Reposition that or no?
No.
Actually, I can see how left trigger jumping would work because you can keep your thumbs on the sticks at all times.
Yeah, I kind of wish that you could, like, you could swap left and right. I think it would be easier if it was on the right. But I don't know. That might just be me.
I could see that too. I could see that too.
Overall, it is a fun game. It's just fun. It's fast paced. It looks
really well animated.
It is sadly the final game from Two Tribes.
Oh, what? Why?
Yeah, they announced that after all these years making games, they feel like this is the culmination of everything that they've done, and this is their final release. I think they are still hoping to bring the game to other platforms. I think they've mentioned, like, Wii U and Xbox One, Vita, so hopefully it shows up on other platforms. I would love to see this come to Xbox One, clearly, but it's clearly a bummer to see Two Tribes go away. They've put out so many good games over the years, and I think this is a fantastic swan song, and for $15, another buy it. It's awesome.
Cool. God,
but
has this show just been all buy it so far?
Probably.
So far, yeah.
Hey, we're generous people.
You used to be try-its all the time, and now you're swinging by it around like...
Man, it's that time of year. All the good shit's coming out.
It is. It's a good time.
Hey, when you're covering good games, then you got to
I think
Indie
Games just had a good spike again. A lot of them have been good recently.
Yeah.
Rive, I think, is an awesome game to end it. Just if you're looking for an easy game, you're not finding it here.
Go back to season one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go play Bejeweled, you fucking pansy.
You fucking pussy. If you're looking for easy achievements, go back to Firewatch and Dear Esther. If you're looking for a crazy, fast paced, awesome twin stick shooter platformer, Rive is awesome.
Cool.
So, all right, next game we're going to get CJ involved here is How to Survive 2, developed by EKO Software, published by 505 Games. It released September 8th for $14.99. Dead or alive, make up your mind, stranger. We don't like that undead business here in Louisiana. Survive solo or with friends as you look to fulfill your basic needs of food, water, and shelter, crafting your own tools and weapons while you secure your camp and face flesh-hungry zombies. CJ, tell us about How to Survive 2, which is not State of Decay.
I was actually going to bring that up. Okay, before I say anything, I completely misread like what this was. I thought I didn't like the first How to Survive, so I wasn't really sure on taking this one on. Turns out I disliked State of Decay, and I'd never played How to Survive 1. I was just getting there confused.
Joe, you and I played How to Survive 1, right?
Yeah, the first one on Xbox One. I believe it was a Games with Gold, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
So thank you for making that Games with Gold, company. Anyway, the game is pretty fun. It's surprisingly not in early access, though, because I've noticed some problems. But basically, it's a kind of zoomed out third person game with twin stick elements. Like when you move the right stick, you can throw your weapon or shoot, aim, and you press X to use your melee weapon, which you start out with. You don't get a gun for a while. They actually start you off by teaching you all the basics of the game. Like,
that sounds amazing.
First, you start by meeting this dude that reminds you of Marcus from Borderlands 2 named Kovac. And this dude, the
Kovac, yeah, he was in the first game.
I love Kovac. Yeah, Kovac's the shit.
And his
like,
guides?
Kovac awesome. Made the first one.
Are his guides in this one, too?
Yes, they are.
Kovac's so guide to survival.
I love this dude. And he's the only character I've noticed so far that has any voice acting, though. Like, every other character, you just read their dialogue. They don't actually have a somebody that reads over it.
I don't remember if it was like that in the first one.
I think it was the same in the first one, too, though.
Wow, was it? Because that just kind of threw me off when I came across other people, and they just didn't talk. You had to actually read what they were saying.
Oh, God forbid you have to read.
Okay, but it's still, right. it's a little bit weird if you didn't come in expecting this. You expected them to talk, and then you just kind of wait in there. Like,
you goddamn kids need everything done for you.
You're never gonna let that go anyway. This game is incredibly fun, though. The zombies are pretty interesting because each of them kind of has a different personality. There's like the normal slow zombies that they walk at you slowly. You can charge attack them easily. They don't really do anything. And then you got your really fast ones that'll gang up on you, and they will fuck you up really, really badly. Like, you'll be taking out a couple of the slow ones, and out of nowhere from behind, there's two guys really fast charging at you, and it's really hard to aim at them, which is one of my bigger complaints, especially with the melee weapon, is sometimes spamming X. Like, you're just swinging in random directions because I think your character auto-targets who he wants to melee. And so, like, I'll move the stick trying to aim at one, and he'll still be swinging at another, and it's like, why are you swinging at that one? I want you to kill the one that's chasing me, and then I'll die, because you do die pretty quick in this game. Like, your health really isn't there. You get, like, 3, maybe 4 hits, and then you're done. And the only way to heal is to pick up these, like, weird plants that'll heal you, and you have to eat those. Anything else you eat only restores food or thirst. And there is food and thirst in this game. I don't know if that was in the first one as well.
Yeah, they were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing that's like, But that's because I don't like having to watch those. And it's a little difficult to watch them because they only... I wish there was like actual bars on the screen rather than having to go to the character menu to see how much you have.
Yeah.
Or see or if it'll start popping up after you're getting low. It'll be like, you're getting low on this. But if I could just see a bar at all times, that'd be kind of nice. Like, maybe under the health and stamina.
I think in the first game, like, the first perks I went for were to, like, reduce the how quick
exactly
they drained.
Yeah.
And the only way to level up in this game is you actually have to earn experience by playing missions, and you can set the level of the mission to be a little bit higher than yours. And I would suggest actually doing that for the first few missions is to put it up one higher than you, because they're still not that much more difficult if they're level 2 and you're level 1. And destroy some, get bonus XP, and level up your camp, because that's the only way you can level up your character. You can only be up to the same level as your camp. And you have to upgrade your camp before you can upgrade your character.
Makes sense.
Which means that there's a lot of just like spending XP that on stuff that you wouldn't necessarily feel like you need, but you have to have it in order to spend the XP on what you actually need.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel like the progression is almost more similar to like a roguelike-ish?
I wouldn't say that. It's definitely nowhere near roguelike. It's more just awkward. I don't really know what to compare it to because I don't think I've ever played a game with a similar system. The level system goes up by each level, and most of the items you can't unlock until you're a certain level. So you can't use like certain weapons, and you can't use certain food items as well, which I was not expecting. There's certain food items and plants that you can't have until you're like level 5 or 10.
Hmm.
Which
So almost like the dungeon crawler-esque type of thing, like a Diablo-esque kind of thing.
You really like that, and I've only played the second one. It was good, but anyway, back to the game.
Because most dungeon crawlers have a thing where it's like, hey, you might get an item, but you're going to have to hold on to it for a little bit because you're not a high enough level to use it.
You're right then. I mean, this is, I don't play a lot of dungeon crawlers, so I didn't really know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know what I was getting into coming into this game. I had way more fun than I expected. I'll give it that. The environments are beautiful, really well done. There's three different camera modes, so you can almost turn it into a third-person game if you wanted. It's like really close. It's not quite third-person, but it's almost. And then there's the really zoomed-out one, which I actually prefer. Because, I don't know. I like to be able to see more of the screen and know what's coming at me.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Be prepared.
Each mission is cool and different. They almost always like collect certain things in order to upgrade your base, it seems. I mean, I've only put a little bit of time into it. I mean, a little bit is a far stretch. I put in a decent amount of time into it. I really did enjoy it, and I just kept playing it for hours once I got out. I was like, oh god, this is just too good. I didn't want to stop playing it.
Once you realized that wasn't State of Decay.
Exactly. I expected it to be like you're playing multiple survivors. And it turns out you're only playing you.
Yes.
And that made it much more fun. There's local and online multiplayer. I didn't mess around with any online. And I didn't really get a chance to play any local. Because I prefer to play these games by myself normally. I don't want somebody coming in and messing up my my stuff.
And it looks like this one supports up to 16 players online as well, which is definite step up over the first one.
Jump from the first one, yeah.
Oh my god, it does say that in the wow. Okay, I thought it was just like online. I thought online would be the same as the local, where it was only four people.
Four local and 16 online, which is crazy.
That's nuts.
Crazy.
All players can contribute to a bigger, better camp and can perform co-op actions and strategies. I think the whole camp stuff is all new to How to Survive 2, because I don't remember that in the first one at all.
I don't remember that in the first one either.
Well, then I'll explain the camp system for anybody that hasn't. Basically, Kovac wants you to set up a community and bring people in and have a kind of civilization.
Okay.
And so you level up your camp by doing missions and getting XP, and then you can craft new buildings and place them. You start out by crafting like a trunk so that you can store your stuff. That's your first idea, because you can only hold like so much gear at a time, like 110 pounds, which is good considering your dude's kind of small. I'm surprised he can carry that much. He's a strong little guy. But these chests... or this trunk really helps. There's very limited room in the trunk, I was surprised. Upgrading it, it didn't seem to actually make any more room. I was surprised by that.
It's probably similar to other dungeon crawlers where it's like, it takes a while for you to upgrade them. It's more of like an end game thing for when you're trying to stash really crazy items.
Yeah.
Possibly. All I know that is when I upgraded it, all it did was up the durability, because you can be attacked by zombies at your camp.
Oh.
And then you have to defend the camp and the people living there. I didn't get too far in the camp system. Like, I built a couple of random buildings, but nobody wanted to move in because they're mean.
Haha.
Don't like me.
You fucking loser.
You didn't make them nice enough. I know that they're trying to survive a zombie, an apocalyptic type of thing, but they gotta have standards. So.
Yeah, my base right now is like a 1-star camp out of 5. I mean, it's awful.
It's it's a hole dug in the ground with a tarp over it for the toilet.
There actually is, pretty much. I mean, the tarp over the toilet isn't true, but I mean, that's the bunker is your hole in the ground.
The survivors are like, we're gonna take our chances with the zombies.
Yeah, you know what? We're just gonna build a tree fort out of some pallets that we found around the corner.
They could take their chances with the sister fuckers, but
Paul's saying people would rather die instead of hang out with you.
God, he's so savage. It's mean. Yeah, there's some hillbillies over there that said, I think one of the funniest lines in the game was like, yeah, we were taking out our sisters, I mean girlfriends. It's just like that complete like stereotype of a southern person.
The first game, there was a lot of interesting humor in the first one that kind of threw me for a loop that I wasn't prepared for when I jumped into it initially.
Yeah, I did not expect this to be a comedy game at all.
I know. First time I saw
it, it's fucking hysterical.
He is. He's ridiculous.
Yeah, this looks pretty. First time I saw it, I thought it was a more serious kind of like zombie survival thing, and it's surprising how over the top funny and goofy the game can be.
Oh yeah,
and it looks this one is even crazier. Like some of the screenshots on Steam, like some of the gore, it just looks over the top ridiculous.
Oh my God! If you want to see gore, throw your weapon at one of those fat asses. They explode.
Oh, yeah. They did that in the first game, too.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
I didn't know what they were, and I was just like, okay, I'll charge at it. Maybe it was just a bigger zombie. He blew up and hurt me. And I was like, okay, I won't do that again.
Don't do that again, yep.
Because they don't tell you that until after you've killed one, that it's like, oh, no, you don't do that.
So I will say this for the benefit of the people hanging out in our chat right now. If you buy this game in the next 10 hours, so if you're listening to the MP3 of this, you're too late. If you buy this in the next 10 hours, you could get it instead of $15, it's $8.99.
It's so worth
not bad.
So I just bought it myself.
You have to play this.
Nice.
Like, yeah, you have to. This game is incredible.
So, Chris, if you got $9 sitting in your Steam wallet... This might be something
currently.
For all of us to team up. Well, you have 10 hours, Chris.
Not currently. Well, I'm going to see Gojira tomorrow. Yeah. I'm saving all my pennies.
And yes, on Steam. I hope this one comes to consoles because I loved the first one on console.
I'm sure it will because the first one came to Xbox One. So.
Yeah, I'm sure in due time
it just might be
make
a timing
it.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, the game just released on PC. I'm sure they're going to give it some time, see how it does.
Yeah.
Even though from the amount of reviews on Steam, I think this game has already done really well. Like 3,500.
Yeah, the first one did pretty good too.
And it's sitting at mostly positive, so it's...
Yeah, this game is mostly positive. It's definitely... I'd say this is definitely a buy it, especially while it's on sale for that price. So if you're listening live, you know, stop being cheap.
If you're not listening live, too late. So $15, what do you think for 15? Still a buy it?
15 still a buy it, easily.
Nice.
There's a lot of shit to this game.
Nice. Sounds good.
Cool.
Chris, any thoughts on it?
No, I really enjoyed the first one, so.
Are you going to get the second one? We'll get a camp going, a co-op camp?
More than likely. It's just a matter of when.
And then we'll all still ignore CJ's camp.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll put ours right next to his and just like put a sign that says loser pointing to his.
Man, yeah, I mean, Pulse is getting angry. He needs to chill.
Stop being cheap, says the guy who got the game to review for free and hasn't donated shit to the PSVR GoFundMe.
Like I said, I got $1.26 in my bank account, and it won't let you donate any lower than $5.
You cheap motherfucker.
Cheap or poor, there's a difference.
Yeah, poor and cheap is different.
Oh, man. All right, next game, since we're talking about Steam games, let's cover one more. This one is called Plantera. Chris, you should get a kick out of I hope you have puns for this.
Go ahead.
Are you gonna walk us through a couple of them?
No, I'm just gonna make them up as I go.
Developed and published by Varagd P.
Yeah.
I don't know. Varagt capital P. Varagt P. I think.
Varagt.
Varagt. This released back in January, on January 28th on Steam, for $2.99. In Plantera, you build your own garden and watch it grow with new plants, bushes, trees, and animals. As you play and expand your garden, you will attract helpers, round blue creatures that will help you with your harvesting tasks.
Is your garden a vulgar display of flowers?
I wish I got the pun.
There you go.
Oh my
That's
god.
Probably gonna be the best one that I'm gonna have, so
oh my
I hope
god.
You like it.
It's like you let off with the good one.
I can't. There's no more. That's it. That's all I get.
Does your garden shout out white flower? Oh god. Oh, I get Jeez. It because Phil being a racist
Phil
piece
and
of shit.
Yup.
Oh man. The game plays very much like an auto clicker.
Oh, so like Cookie Clicker?
Kind of. It's very similar in style. Basically, you plant something. And the plant will eventually sprout like fruit. You start with just like a standard, you know, like I think carrots are the first one, if I remember. And, you know, it grows like sure. 4 carrots and then you click them and they're each worth a coin. And then you save up and then you could plant a bush that has like, you know, God, I forget all the fucking fruits. a bush with fruit on it. And
a bush.
Yeah, and it'll drop, you know, 4 fruit there, and you click them, and they're worth a coin each. And then eventually, you know, you could plant trees with, like, apples or oranges. Basically, the more you level up, which you level up by collecting coins and fruit, the more options you have to plant stuff, and the more those items will be worth. So, like, the fourth level tree might drop things that are worth, like, 10 coins each instead of 1, and it'll drop 4 things. You can have you can have like ground plants like carrots, you could have the bush plants, you can have trees, you can also have animals like chickens will lay eggs, pigs can like dig up truffles or boots that are worth money. Cows will drop milk that the you know worth a decent amount of money. When the game starts off, you can have like 4 of each thing and then 2 trees. I think 2, maybe 3. You can pay to expand it to the left and to the right. The more you expand and the higher your level goes, the more helpers, which is where the auto stuff comes in, because the helpers will just pick your fruits for you. Like they'll pick everything up. And after so long, you know, the game just kind of becomes automated, like Cookie Clicker. You know, you have enough auto things going, and it just the game eventually could just play itself. You can keep an eye on things to, like, scare away animals. Will come and try, like, a bear will come and try stealing fruit, or birds will fly down trying to steal shit. For $3, it's just a fun, goofy little game. You're not going to get years of playtime out of it, but it's fun to fill up, you know, a night or two and just fuck around. The music is ridiculously catchy.
Well, that's good.
Like, I kind of want to just fire up the game now so I could play the music for it. Cause
well, why don't you try and see if you could find the music for it and use it at the end of the episode?
I could try.
Why don't you do that? Oh, you know, I had another question for you. If you plant a tree, can you like chop it down and then like replant it if you want it? Like,
yes,
if you're out of room?
You can get rid of stuff. Like, you know, when I start off, I had the lowest things possible. And as I got more room, I would, you know, get rid of stuff and then plant new stuff and better stuff.
So when you replant the tree, you have to chop it down. Does your guy go over and like chop it down with an axe?
No, you just like click delete.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
You had a plan set up for that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Plantera has an official soundtrack with 3 songs for $1.
Not bad.
Well,
add to cart. Purchase for
that
myself.
That was easy.
There you go.
But I'm sure when you click delete, it makes them disappear.
Purchase.
That one wasn't. I mean, I didn't even get it and I didn't laugh. Didn't seem to be a fan.
Do you think like
when track nine on reinventing the steel?
Do you think there's a cemetery for like dead plants?
Would you have to walk over to and open up the cemetery gates?
Yeah.
I still think the vulgar display of flowers.
Yeah, that's just too fucking good. That is way too goddamn good. Vulgar display of flower. Jesus.
Well, who knows? Who knows? Maybe in your garden you can plant some different herbal varieties and you could become a medicine man.
Maybe.
And then you could take a psycho holiday from all of your medicine.
Oh man. $3. Fuck it. Buy it. It's fun. It's goofy. And I just paid $1 for 3 songs. So,
well, there you go. $1
that's
soundtrack.
Not a buy it.
A dollar soundtrack.
That's not a buy it. You know, what is
the game is a buy it for $3. And then the soundtrack for $1 is another fuck it. Why not?
Can we start making that a thing where it's like buy it, try it, deny it, fuck it, why not?
It doesn't even rhyme. Like, I mean, I said that last week with safety first.
Fuck it, why not? Yeah, safety first was another fuck it, why not?
Fuck it, why not? Like
that, when they're that cheap.
That's like straddling the buy it and try it.
I think that's a legitimate review version. It's just fuck it, why not? Like,
fuck it, why not buy it?
Yeah.
Why it? Sure. Fuck it, why it?
Why it?
But sure. Yeah, it's fun. I like dumb, fun things. So for $3, yeah, fuck it, buy it.
Fuck it, why not? Why not?
Oh, man. One final thing to review this week. This kind of came out of nowhere. I just got a code last night, and it's like, hey, this is releasing next week. Marvel's Women of Power DLC for Pinball FX2 and Zen Pinball 2, developed and published by Zen Studios. It will release September 27th for $6.99. Experience a Soviet-dominated alternate history featuring Black Widow and Madame Mask in the A-Force table, and team up with Ms. Marvel, Squirrel Girl, Spider-Gwen, and more to foil a bank heist perpetrated by Bombshell in the Champions table. So, 2 pinball tables, 2 very, very different pinball tables. Aesthetically, the A-Force table has like a very serious comic book style, like gritty, what you expect out of like a Marvel table and like, you know, okay, just Marvel comics in general, where the Champions table has a very cel-shaded cartoony feel to it, with like cartoony sound effects and very Scooby-Doo-like humor in audio. It's
okay.
It's a very, very drastically different contrasting styles, and it works really well for the two different tables. $6.99 seems kind of high for the two tables. Normally you expect $3 a table.
So it's $3.50?
Yeah. I mean, it's just noticeable. Like, normally they're like $2.99 each. So
it's probably the extra kickback that they're going to have to give for licensing.
Possibly, which makes sense. Even still, $7 for the two tables. They both really, really good table layouts. The A-Force table, I was kind of surprised. Every time you miss the skill shot in the beginning, like Black, I was like, damn it. And I'm like, that's funny to hear in a pinball table.
Just everything. Yeah, I can imagine.
Damn it. The Champions table, it felt like I felt kind of ripped off by the balls going down the sides more frequently, like just
Welcome to every time I play pinball.
Yeah, pretty much. It felt more than usual Zen tables. I think it was just the first couple of times I played because I put more time into it and I didn't really have those issues, but man, they're just really solid tables. I love the artwork in the champions table. It felt good to have such a goofy, fun, cartoony aesthetic instead of super serious.
Sorry, I'm dying. God damn it. Sorry.
I'm going to watch you on stream now.
Yeah.
There was the first, and there's the second.
Yeah, there's the second one. Yep.
I'm looking up Squirrel Girl because I've never fucking heard of that before.
Really? You never heard of Squirrel Girl?
No, I've never heard of that before.
Hmm. Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, I like the, you know how they have kickbacks on tables where it goes down the side and it'll like kick it back out for you? On the champions table, Ms. Marvel just like stretches her arms and picks up the ball and saves it.
That's cool.
The skill shot on the A-Force table has like ridiculous scoring opportunities where, you know, you pull the trigger, the gun shoots the ball out to the top, and there's four of the different slots, and one of them is flashing. And if it goes down, you get 1,000,000 points, which, you know, that happens on a lot of them. And then it zaps the ball right next to one of the flippers where you can also hit a ramp that you get another 2,000,000 points.
So that could sounds like rack up pretty quickly, yeah.
And but then
pinball.
And then
after that ramp, you can hit another ramp for another 4,000,000 points.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, the scoring potential from that skill shot is ridiculous. There's different multi-balls in that one. There's a helicopter multi-ball, and then there's a... Fuck, I forget the dude's name. Like, some steel sentinel thing that if you hit it enough, it opens its mouth and you could shoot the ball down there. Both tables, just really solid, good pinball tables. Not super much to talk about. I love the contrasting styles and the two different like thematic feels of the two tables, and I think they complement each other really well. For $7, one more buy it. We're doing a full buy it week.
Plus
with the extra 50 cents you saved from the Rock Band DLC, you could easily buy these the extra 50 cents for these.
Indeed. Yeah. And
that sounds amazing.
That does sound amazing.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
We gotta nobody's get that one on there, that. Too.
What, eventually, that sounds amazing?
It's gonna die. Eventually.
No, we need to get an air horn.
It's still funny to me. I need some kind of like sound box to just have all these. I need Norg's crickets.
Yep. We need that one.
The air horn. Crickets. That sounds amazing.
It's only $20.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
That would have been perfect.
Actually, here, there's one last thing that I'll mention, by the way. Killer Instinct Definitive Edition came out.
Yeah.
Extra ship for Killer Instinct. So,
$40 for all three seasons now?
Yeah, and the new game mode. I haven't been able to try it, but
Shadow Lords, it just hit yesterday, I think, or today?
Yeah. I think it was yesterday. So, yeah, there's a new game mode. So you could check that stuff out. It's supposedly like crazy in depth. I haven't had a chance to check it out and see what the fuck it's all about, but people are hyping it up. So I don't know.
Nice.
I will check
one
it out eventually.
One last thing to take care of this week is on Twitter we mentioned that we had codes for Titan Quest Anniversary, and surprisingly, I only got one email.
What?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people listen to it for the Xbox, though.
So. Yeah. So, Titan Quest Anniversary. I asked you to tell me why you want it. We had two codes, and I only got one email, and it's from Festop Prawl, which crazy name, but you know, whatever your mama gave you, you know.
Or puppy.
Said, I recently heard about this, and after looking at some footage, I fell in love. It reminds me of games like Ultima, which I'm very fond of. And Festop, guess what? You're getting it. Because no one else wrote in.
Imagine Joe just like,
Well,
you're
we
not
still
getting
got
it.
Well, we still have one left, so
still
if
got
you
one more code. So if someone wants to write in and get our other copy of Titan Quest Anniversary,
if you like this game that I'm pointing at in the chat, from my webcam,
De Burbler.
If you like that game, you really like Titan Quest.
De Burbler.
Yeah.
De Burbler.
Yeah.
Also buy How to Survive 2, because those are similar to. Got a rep. It's the game I got.
Man, a lot of good stuff this week. The Marvel Tables are a buy it. Dear Esther's a buy it. Firewatch is a buy it. How to Survive 2 is a buy it. Mystery Chronicle, One Way Heroics is a buy it. Rive is a buy it. And Plantera is a buy it.
So how much money do you spend this week then, basically?
15, 25. I guess for How to Survive, we'll have to go with the full price. So that's 40.
Yeah, most people won't hear it until the MP3.
70, about $80.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Really not, because you're getting a lot of
good
games.
For like games. Like five or six games?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 games and 2 pinball tables.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not bad. I mean, it's $60 just for a real game.
No, like, I'm saying no big... don't buy it for any of them. Donate to the PSVR fund instead. Which
or you deny it's all week.
I agree. Yeah, deny every game. Fuck them all. Yeah, our fundraising drive is still going.
Fuck them all to death. We're going to fuck them all to death.
I don't believe I said fuck them all to death.
I'm sorry. Here are all of the examples in which you said I'm going to fuck them all to death.
Did you have your member berries, Chris? Your member berries?
Yes. I had some member berries today.
Member berries.
Member berries.
I'm just happy I actually get these references now.
Oh man. But yeah, our VR fund is still at 345 out of 550. We still have like 3 weeks to go, so we could definitely do this.
Oh yeah, we can hit this.
And then I believe my choices for getting the system are going to be like going to Target at midnight and camping.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Gotta do it. Gotta cover these. And we're officially at the point where I kinda need to, because I already got an email asking about covering a VR game, a PSVR game.
Ooh, spicy.
So
there it is.
So we
had this all planned out before any of this shit even started happening. So
yeah,
people don't donate, you're gonna disappoint the developers.
Exactly. I mean, I clearly didn't reply yet and say yes, I want to do this, because I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, if for some reason the fund doesn't get met, I don't want to let them down. But I think we definitely have some opportunities for PSVR games to cover, and I would love to do it, and I would love to make the VR a part of our show, and hopefully we can.
We'll see.
GoFundMe.com/PSVR4SML. So go give us all your money, all of it.
All your money are belong to us.
Yes. Or, you know, whatever you can afford. I don't want to, you know, like.
No, we want it all.
Yeah. Give us everything you have.
We want it all.
Don't,
everything.
Don't, like.
Don't hold back.
Put yourself at a disadvantage. Like.
Don't think.
But
sometimes,
all of it,
you know what?
All
don't
of
even.
It.
Don't think about yourself.
Yeah.
Don't think about
yourself. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Plus, it's just getting rid of all of that monetary needs crap. You don't
Seriously,
need that.
Seriously. Like. Responsibilities. Who needs responsibilities? Fuck.
People
that.
Are too attached to items anymore. Just get rid of it all.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
Exactly. Exactly. No Pulse hasn't been thinking about him, so he's thinking about us. No Pulse. Someone donated $10, and No Pulse donated another $10 to match.
I'm
it.
Still saying
no
with
Pulse.
Your
no Pulse
problem,
is on fire.
Like No he Pulse. It is awesome how much he believes in our show. And it means a lot. It really does. Like, it feels cool that someone believes in what we're doing.
Thank you. You're the breast.
You're the breast. Around.
The whole breast.
Lubba dubba dubba words and stuff.
Words and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
All right. So what? So
music. I guess I'm gonna go with Plantera. Hopefully, the three songs are good enough to be all of it. If not, then we'll play something else.
Okay.
But music. Yeah, music. That's what we're gonna play.
You'll get music.
And then yeah. Gonna be good.
Don't forget to send us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. It doesn't have to be for a contest. You could just email us.
Yeah, just talk to us. Hey, say hi.
Hey, what do you think about this thing or that thing or this thing that I just made up that doesn't actually exist, but now I want you to talk about it.
Indeed. And Chris, make sure that you put some time aside so we can play Payday. Because
I know,
because we got to cover that. I was hoping to cover it this week.
My next couple days are going to be insane because tomorrow I have to learn songs for the band and I'm going to see that concert. And then I have a double Friday. I have a double Saturday. And then Sunday is probably going to be going over those songs more because I have rehearsal Monday or Tuesday.
I think it's
Monday. So, yeah. No rest for the wicked.
Hey, I'm just happy that we had a week where there were only six games to cover. It's going to pick back up next week again. So,
Oh my god!
Oh my god, me! You cover like one game, and then I do a whole second show without you.
It's your show. It's absolutely your show.
That's his excuse, so he doesn't have to do as much.
Pretty much,
no, dude. Listen. Let's be honest. From the beginning, this has totally been Joe's show.
Yeah.
It's been Joe's show.
Should have just called it the Joe podcast with friends.
The Joe show.
I was trying to convince you to like the Joe Cam net something. Yeah, I think. But SML with how many, you know, past episodes that we've done, if you want to consider them real episodes,
no, none of them count.
there's an extensive back catalog.
One of these days we're gonna have a real episode one and it's gonna be awesome.
After like 300 some episodes, which would be like, hey guys, all those previous ones, those are just warm ups.
Once we hit 1000, I'm just gonna start over episode one.
That'll be
SML Podcast 2, Episode 1.
That would be amazing, actually. I would listen. SML Podcast 2, Electric Boogaloo, Episode 1, Season 1.
But does that sound amazing?
That sounds amazing.
It sounds amazing.
It's just a sequel that nobody wanted.
Oh, that's another one you have to have. You have to have the, I never asked for this. We need that.
Oh, man. So let's wrap this episode up. Fuck it. One of you guys, give me final words.
You first.
I don't have any final words. Bye, Rise of Iron, because I know Joe hates it.
Hey, Nate Diaz, give us some final words.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
That sounds amazing.